could Pope Benedict XVI divide the papal primacy? Some would say, can he divide the papal office, the munus of St. Peter, and divide it and dissolve it away from the episcopate of Rome, the apostolic see, the bishop of Rome? Is that possible? This was explored 2 weeks ago by Dr. Ed Mazza. He came on and he put out his thesis. He holds that Benedict XVI is still Pope, and he's coming on tomorrow to discuss objections and revisit. I've been doing a lot of research. I want to do a quick show today giving y'all three viewpoints in Catholic history and theology on whether a pope can divide the primacy from the Bishop of Rome. Real quick, all this goes back to the book of Acts. We know that on Pentecost Sunday, for example, Peter was the pope. He had the keys. He had the primacy. He was the prince of the apostles. He had supreme and universal jurisdiction, everything Vatican I teaches, but he was not the Bishop of Rome. And so theologians have discussed, and we're going to go through a lot of them today, Bellarmine, we're going to talk about Suarez, Cajetan, Below, a bunch of them, John of St. Thomas. They have discussed how it is that the papal Petrine primacy was joined to Rome, the Bishop of Rome. And there are four viewpoints on that. One of them is heretical, so we can't believe in that one. And then there are three that are allowed on how it is that that Peter joined Rome to the primacy, the papal primacy. So that's what we're going to do today. I've got a spreadsheet that I made, so you can, I'll put that on the screen so everybody can see it. Before I begin, we're going to pray. And we'll open up. I'll pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us, the Our Father. We'll pray it in Latin. I'll put the words on the screen so you can follow along with me. Oremus. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right. Now, a lot of people have been writing me saying, Taylor, you got to slow down. I'm trying to learn the Latin prayers, and you're just praying through them. That's because I'm praying them, and for those of you that requested, there is a video on my YouTube channel, How to Pray These Prayers. And I also have a whole worksheet, which is linked on that YouTube in the notes. And then I even send out a MP3 recording of praying all these important prayers in Latin very slow. So if you're interested in that, just find the video. Maybe our moderators can put it up on how to pray important prayers in Latin right here on the YouTube channel. And while we're talking about YouTube channel, please like this video. This is going to be a really good video, short and sweet, but tons of information. So please hit the thumbs up button. Also, the most important thing you can do for me is to please share this video. So hit that share button and share it on Twitter or Facebook. Of course, if you're not subscribed, we are live right now. If you want to be notified, subscribe, hit the bell, turn notifications on your device, and you'll be notified every time we get going. All right. Well, we had Ed Mazza on, Dr. Mazza. He gave his thesis. He holds that Benedict XVI is still Pope. People think just because I interviewed him that I agree with him. I don't. I don't believe Benedict XVI is the Pope. I'm open to being persuaded, which is why I'm doing this research, why I'm having Dr. Mazza on tomorrow. So this is really kind of a little appetizer for what's going to happen tomorrow. Dr. Mazza and myself don't agree on all this, but I think it is interesting, and I think he's put forth a thesis that is more persuasive than the substantial error thesis. There's a thesis that Anne Barnhart talks about, and she says that canon law rightly says that if a pope resigns the office with substantial error or with coercion, it's an invalid resignation. And so that would make the resignation of Pope Benedict XVI invalid. And in my book, Infiltration, I explore that thesis and explain why I don't hold to it. And Dr. Mazza kind of has an interesting take on it, because the reason that I don't hold to that thesis, and I call it the resignationist thesis. Some people call it the Benny Plenist thesis. The reason I don't hold to that is because many, many years ago, let's see, every time I look for a book, they're not around. Oh, here we go. No, not there. I wrote a book called The Eternal City. And the book, The Eternal City, is me making the claims that Christ himself, actually God from eternity, wanted the Catholic Church based in Rome. That it's not an accident of history, but that God decided he wanted Rome to be the apostolic see, and that it's foretold in the book of Daniel by Daniel the prophet, and it's hinted at in Matthew's gospel and the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse. So I wish I had a copy of it. I'd show you what it looks like, but it's called The Eternal City by Taylor Marshall. And in that book, I'm basically arguing against Protestants. And I'm sorry I'm so sweaty, by the way. I just looked in the monitor. I don't have my, it's Texas, it's June, and I didn't have my air conditioning on. It's just suddenly very hot. The thesis is that God wants Rome to be the center of his kingdom on earth. And that it's not just something that medieval, but something that's in the pages of the New Testament. So when I see Benedict XVI resigning the episcopate of Rome, which he explicitly states in his declaratio, to me, that looks like a guy giving up everything. But Dr. Mazza says, no, Benedict can and did bifurcate and dissolve and divide the papal primacy from Bishop of Rome. And he says there are theologians in the past who have held this as a possibility. Initially, I was skeptical of this. Since then, I mean, he said it's true, and he gave me some examples. Since then, I've done some more research and found, in fact, Dr. Mazza is right. There are theologians who have held this. And today, I'm going to go through the three theories on how the papal primacy and the episcopate of Rome, Bishop of Rome, were joined together and whether they can be divided. And I'll be reading today from a theological manual by Joachim Salieri and Mikhail Nikolai. This was published in Latin in 1955. So pre-Vatican II. And there's a section in here discussing the junction, the joining of Bishop of Rome, Romanitas, and the primacy. And I'm going to go ahead right now and see if I can put this little sheet up on the screen. All right. Yeah, it worked. Great. Great. Okay. So you can see the four positions. I may need to blow this up. Let's see if I can make it bigger. There's the four positions here. Get the book off. There we go. Now it's getting a little bit bigger. The first one is in red, and it's the heretical one. This is the position that holds that the primacy of the papacy and Bishop of Rome were joined together by human law. By human law. So this is the false idea that a emperor or any, you know, government, or even by like a council of the church, sort of nominated that the Bishop of Rome would be the number one. Probably you might find this thesis amongst Eastern Orthodox, I suppose. Listed here as heretical voices who held this are Tamburini, Fabronius, and Nuzzi. And they hold that the primacy and the Bishop of Rome could be divided because there's nothing apostolic or ecclesiastical or divine in their union. This is heretical. We can't hold this. Now, the remaining three viewpoints is what we're going to go through right now. And I'm going to do a little bit of vocab before I do. So just look at the second column, junction of primacy and Roman see. Can everybody see this? I can see it okay on my monitor. I want to make sure that y'all see it. I wonder if I can make it even bigger. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. And then I got to move it over. There we go. Much better. Okay, so the first one, which is heretical, means that the junction between the primacy and the Roman See is a human law, and therefore it can be dissolved. Can the two be divided? Yes, that's in column F. Now, the next one is thesis one. Thesis one is the one that I believe right now, and that is that the junction of the primacy of Peter and the Roman See, and the word see here means the seat, the chair of Rome, are joined together by divine law. This means that God Almighty told Peter, hey, you need to link your Petrine keys and office to the city of Rome. So if Jesus says something, you have to do it. And then you can't later change it. Does that make sense? So for example, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, that's a divine law. A pope can't come along later and change it, or you can't have an ecumenical council and change that. Or there are seven sacraments. These are divine laws. Now, the second one is the thesis of Dr. Mazza, who I mentioned beforehand. The second thesis says that the primacy of Peter and the Roman See are joined together by an ecclesiastical law junction. So the church, most likely in the person of Peter, obviously, joined together Rome and the primacy. Now the next question is, can the two be divided? And this second thesis says yes, but for just reason. So it can't be arbitrary. It can't be that the Pope says, well, you know, I really like the French Riviera, so that's going to be where the primacy is now attached. Or, you know, I think New York is a really important place. I'm now going to attach the primacy to New York. It would have to be some kind of apocalyptic situation, which is exactly what Dr. Mazza says we're in right now. And so he says, Ben the 16th very carefully understood thesis two. And he went ahead and he made in his declaratio a separation between the episcopate, the Bishop of Rome, the Roman See, and the primacy, and he has currently divided it so that Benedict holds the primacy and Francis holds the episcopate of Rome. That's the thesis of Dr. Mazza. Now, proponents who have held that in the past, you can see the final column that I put on there are Soto, Banez, Bellarini, and Mendivi. Now, I already skipped over. Sorry, I'm moving this around. It's moving it for y'all. I skipped over those who hold thesis number one. We got some big names there. We got Pope Gelasius, Pope Innocent III, Pope Hadrian I, perhaps Pope Leo XIII. I put them on there, but it could be debated. I'd like to hear what people say about that. Bellarmine, Suarez, Cajetan, Melchior Cano, De Valencia, Tanner, Mazzelli, De Groot, a bunch of others. This is number one is the primary majority position in the Catholic Church, and it's the thesis of my book, The Eternal City. Moderators, maybe Dan or Will, if you can, get a link to my book, Eternal City. I don't have it with me. That might be helpful. Okay, and then the third one is interesting. It's sort of a mixed one. It says that the junction between the primacy and the Roman See is by ecclesiastic apostolic law junction. So what they're saying is yes, it's not by divine law, it's by ecclesiastical law, but it's ecclesiastic apostolic because it's in the person of Peter, who's not only the apostle, but he's also the pope. But when he joined them, it was irrevocable. So once Peter said, hey, the primacy and Rome are united, it wasn't Christ who told him to do that, but since he did that, they can never be separated again. So it's kind of like the second thesis, but it has the conclusion of the first thesis. It's the mixed thesis. Okay, so can the two be divided? Never. Who holds this? Perhaps Benedict XIV, and then some others. John of St. Thomas, notably, solid theologian. Cardinal, Franzelin, and a few others. So I think you can see here that obviously thesis number one is the majority. And it is interesting, however, to see that Vatican I, Dr. Mazza said this, and I wasn't so sure, but he's right. Vatican I did not define the nature of the junction between the primacy and the Roman See. As a matter of fact, these three positions that I just laid out for you are in the Acts of the Council of the First Vatican Council. They're documented. And Nicolai and Salieri further talk about how there was discussion on the floor that this should be defined, but they decided it should not be defined because it's not exactly clear how it is that the primacy and the Roman See are joined together. Therefore, these three viewpoints, thesis one, divine law junction, thesis two, ecclesiastical law junction, that's Dr. Ed Mazza, and thesis three, ecclesiastic apostolic law junction. The first and the third say that Rome and the primacy can never be divided till the end of time. That's it. So this is pretty helpful. I mean, there's a bunch of other information. I could read it. I think the graph on the screen says it all. And tomorrow we will go through it in a lot more detail with Dr. Mazza. We'll go through these three positions and go through some of the nuances, and especially go through the Declaratio with the interpretation of Dr. Mazza. And one of the key elements to this is, and I brought it out in the interview last time, I said, look, it looks like, well, not looks like, it's a fact that Benedict says that the Roman episcopate will be empty. He uses the term sede vacante, be vacant. But he also says, and to elect another supreme pontiff. And Dr. Mazza has an interesting take on that based on the Latin and a bunch of other things. So a bunch of objections were thrown up, and everybody's kind of gone and done their research, and we're coming back. So tomorrow, join us, Dr. Mazza and myself, and we'll go through these three opinions and then get through the nitty-gritty of whether it's possible that Benedict the 16th still has the primacy, Francis has Bishop of Rome, and we're in a peculiar situation. Also, you can check out my video I did just a few days ago on Anne Catherine Emmerich and the vision of the two popes. I went through that, and I think I dispelled some misunderstandings on the two popes vision, which, by the way, Emmerich had that vision on May 13th, 1820. So she had it almost 100 years before the first apparition of Our Lady of Fatima. Pretty amazing. And I think it does actually speak to the third secret of Fatima. I just don't think it speaks of two popes or co-regents in Rome. All right. Well, that's a show right there. I'd like you to please like the video if you don't mind. Appreciate that. Please share the video. And please subscribe, especially if you want to hear tomorrow's show. Tomorrow's show is going to be, I think, really, really good. And we're going to go through this because more and more people are saying, well, man, things are pretty messed up in Rome. Pretty, you know, lots of scandals, lots of problems. Maybe Francis isn't the Pope. Maybe Benedict's the Pope. Well, you can't just say that. You got to actually break it down and look at all the consequences, which would mean, you know, one of the problems with the substantial error thesis is then all the bishops who are appointed by Francis are invalidly appointed. They could be real bishops, but they're not the real ordinaries of a local diocese. That means all the cardinals appointed by Francis would be fake cardinals, which would mean the next conclave is a fake conclave. But one of the interesting things about Mazza's thesis is if Francis were the Bishop of Rome, no matter how bad he is, he could canonically be making appointments and making Roman cardinals. That's an interesting twist on the thesis. Again, everybody thinks because I'm talking about this, I believe it. Not necessarily. I'm just doing the research and trying to make the best case possible. That's what a Thomist does. He takes his people who disagree with him and he beefs up their argument as best as he can, even if he disagrees with it. So that's what we're doing tomorrow. Dr. Ed Mazza will be on. We'll be talking about, is Benedict still the Pope, and going through the Declaratio. And the Declaratio is the Latin title for the resignation document of Pope Benedict XVI. That's where this whole thing centers, is on that document. So, all right, we're going to close in prayer. We're going to pray a Ave Maria, Hail Mary, and we're going to pray a Glory Be. And these are going to be for the church. We're going to offer these for the church today for clarity and renewal. Be great. Be great if we could have a renewed church. Oremus. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sic ut erat in principio et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. All holy popes, pray for us. Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, pray for us. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, and then remember, pray the rosary every single day. Pray the rosary for the Pope. Pray the rosary so that you get to heaven, so that you think about Jesus Christ every single day. You think about the Annunciation, which is the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the visitation, the birth of Jesus. When you pray the decade on the birth of Jesus, what I like to do is think about baby Jesus' eyes. Like he opened his eyes, he's awake. And just to see those eyes, I mean, it's almost like, would you be able to see the eternity behind those eyes? Then there's the presentation. You know, that's a great time to pray for, pregnant women. Of course, the visitation is too, but the presentation for babies that need to be baptized, for little ones, and then finding of the Christ child in the temple. That's a great time to pray for young adults, adolescents, teenagers. That's when Christ was a teenager. You know, load up those beads there and pray for young adults, adolescents, teenagers, people who need confirmation. This is how you pray the rosary, right? You be creative, you know, and think about the mysteries, and then hang on those mysteries all your needs, your prayers, your sorrows, your joys. That's how we do it. So pray the rosary every day, or you're not on the team. And we'll close up there. Everybody, thanks so much for watching. Again, please like the video, hit the thumbs up button. And while you're there, right next to it is the share button. Hit the share, share the show on Twitter and Facebook. Of course, subscribe. And I'd like to thank everyone who supports this show on Patreon. I'll send you some signed books and other cool merchandise. Just go to patreon.com/drtaylormarshall. Also sending out signed copies of my best-selling book, Infiltration. And you also, at a certain level, you can get a signed copy of Eternal City, the book that I was talking about today. In fact, you can get all my books signed if you want. If you want to find out how, go to patreon.com/drtaylormarshall. All right. Well, remember that our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Go out there and be salty. We'll see you tomorrow with Dr. Mazza. Till then, Godspeed.